Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We'll be hearing from Brian O'Connell in Cork very shortly. Also, we'll be looking later on at the financial burden of back-to-school costs. Now, though, the European Commission is set to propose merging CAP funding with other funds in a radical overhaul of how farmers receive financial supports from the European Union budget. It's expected when Commission President Ursula von der Leyen unveils the proposal for the EU's next long-term budget today. It will outline plans to pool dedicated agriculture and rural financial supports into a single national and regional partnerships fund. Well, farmers here are worried that that move could result in certain funding for agriculture within the EU budget no longer being ring-fenced and see financial supports funneled away from the sector and into other areas. Let's get more on this EU budget now with Sarah Collins, who's Brussels correspondent at the Business Post. Sarah, you're welcome to the programme. So this is a big deal and lots of concerns here about what might happen. And the CAP and the corporation tax, they're the big issues, are they, that are being decided on here?
For Ireland, I think, yeah, they're the two most important issues, the ones to watch today. I mean, from what I understand, EU officials are still actually in talks on the details on this single fund that would lump agriculture and regional funding into one. The corporate tax seems to have been done yesterday. But yeah, it is the most radical overhaul of the budget in a long time. And, you know, the EU is under a lot of pressure to raise new revenue streams to pay for new priorities like defence, like economic growth. We had this report from former European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi last year. He says the EU needs to raise 800 billion euro a year from public and private sources. So this is where they're coming from. They want a lot. They want their own revenues and they want more flexibility in how they spend them. And I think that's what's behind this new sort of mega fund, which the farmers are very, very worried about.
And are they right to be concerned? I mean, are those fears that the funds could be funneled away from that area, are they well founded?
I mean, what the agriculture commissioner, the Luxembourgish commissioner, Christoph Hansen, had promised farmers that there would be ring-fenced direct payments. So the agriculture budget is made up of these direct payments to farmers based on, you know, the amount of land they have. And then they have this second sort of pillar, they call it, for rural development, for things like, you know, young farmers, for rural communities. That seems to be, that second pillar is the one that seems to be more unsure. The direct payments, the commission officials assure me, assure farmers, is still there. It will be ring-fenced in as much as is possible, but the new fund will just have a lot more. You'll be able to move money around between different areas, between different years more easily. I understand farmers' concerns there, because obviously when you have the EU budget as it stands, it's very much policy focused. You have agriculture, you have your regional funding, you have migration, you have social funding. It's very separate. They want to lump all that in together and give themselves just that more freedom.
Now, the taxes on companies, you mentioned revenue raising there. What is the EU trying to do there? And will it mean that the government here might have to cough up a proportion of our corporation taxes and hand them over to the EU?
Yeah, so at the moment, it's just a proposal. And
we seem to have lost the line there on Sarah. We might try and revive that so we can continue that conversation with Sarah Collins in Brussels. We'll be back after this.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Let's go back to Sarah Collins, Brussels correspondent at the Business Post. And Sarah, you were answering that question about whether these new rule changes, potential changes, might mean that Ireland might have to hand over a portion of our corporation tax to Europe. Is that on the agenda?
Yeah, it's on the agenda, but will require unanimous approval by every country. And Ireland's not the only country likely to be opposing that. There's a lot of countries that raise revenues via corporation taxes, like Luxembourg, like Sweden, that will probably have an issue with it. So far, it's only a levy on large companies. But again, given the difficult trading environment between the US and EU, it's probably going to be a pretty controversial tax, more so than it would have been 7 years ago when the last EU budget was being discussed.
Mm-hmm. It's a very secretive process, isn't it? And very limited amounts of information get out to the likes of you.
It is. It's more secretive than ever this year. I spoke to a couple of former commissioners who said it wasn't like this in their time, you know, that it was a much more sort of collegiate way of doing things, that the budget commissioner, for example, hadn't really an idea of exactly how much money he had to play with until quite late in the day. He, by the way, was the deputy head of the private office of the former budget commissioner in 2014. So he knows kind of how the system works. But I have heard there's a lot more secrecy this time, that the pen is very much wielded by Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, this time around, more so than it was in the past.
Mm-hmm. And do we know exactly how much money they have to play with here?
We don't. The current EU budget is 1.2 trillion. There's a lot of countries that don't want to see that increased, including Germany. There's also a pot of funding at 700 billion euro, the pandemic fund, which is still kind of working its way to member states. They don't want a lot of countries who pay more into the budget than they get out, don't want to see those headings increase at all.
Mm-hmm. And like we hear when we're talking about budget 2026 here in Ireland, there's a lot of concerning headwinds at play, right, for Europe, like the trade war with Donald Trump's America, what's happening in Ukraine, continuing on and supporting Ukraine through that, competition from China, conflict in the Middle East, climate change and so on. So there's a lot of pressure on that 1.2 trillion or thereabouts.
There is, exactly. And again, I think that's what's behind the kind of slimming down of the number of different funds that the EU has in the budget to kind of three main headings. Ukraine is a huge priority. So the reality is that the Commission believes it's going to have to fund Ukraine's, not only its defence currently, but its reconstruction into the future, especially as it is in line to become an EU member. So there will be ring-fenced funding for Ukraine as well. And there'll be this large competitiveness fund that the EU wants to kind of boost economic growth to, you know, increase its focus on priorities like green tech and things that maybe the US would have been doing under Joe Biden with its Inflation Reduction Act. And then, of course, we have the trade war. We have real wars in the Middle East. I mean, the list is endless of what the EU is being asked to spend on.
Mm-hmm. So this issue of corporation tax, clearly that's going to be a big one. As you say, it needs to be ratified unanimously across the board. But there are other measures at play floating around, aren't there? Taxes on things like non-recycled electrical waste and tobacco products that might be a route for the EU to raise revenues.
They are. The thing is that non-recyclable waste and tobacco taxes won't raise a huge amount of money. I think the EU is very much counting on other things, like they want to hive off some carbon taxes from national coffers. This corporation tax resource is a big deal for them. And there's also an idea in the ether of slapping a kind of handling fee on small parcel imports into the EU from the likes of Temu and Shein. That's kind of still stuck in the legislative ether at the moment, and it's not in the proposal that I've seen, but I think it's coming in the future.
Mm-hmm. Does it make a difference that Ireland will be chairing the presidency of the EU next year? Does that make a difference in this negotiation in this moment?
It does. I mean, it's unclear how far the negotiations will get as of this time next year when Ireland takes over the presidency. The EU, like, it can often take 2 years to negotiate a budget, and the new budget doesn't kick in till January 2028. So they have a bit of leeway after Ireland, but it looks like Ireland will be in the thick of it when it takes over that presidency. The big worry for the EU at the moment is there are due to be French presidential elections in 2027. That could bring the far right to power. The EU wants to get that budget done well before then, because it could end up stuck if it's, you know, hanging on the outcome of a French election.
Mm-hmm. So it's very much a defining moment for Ursula von der Leyen. And you've told us there about the secrecy around this, and that there is evidence that her hand is very much on both the pen and on the fact that we haven't heard very much about it. It's very important for her that this is done in the right way and raises enough money.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's also the moment when MEPs, you know, the European Parliament has the most say. Every 7 years, they can accept or reject this budget. And MEPs, even from Ursula von der Leyen's own centre-right party, have said they will reject this budget if there's no ring-fenced funding for agriculture. So on the side of the farmers are even the centre-right party. So it will be a difficult kind of tussle for von der Leyen between having to placate governments, you know, watch out for elections and also, you know, make sure that MEPs are happy.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, thank you very much. Sarah Collins there, Brussels correspondent at the Business Post.